1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 is where we're going to begin today. A lady called into Word FM to relate her wedding surprise. And she said the limousine driver pulled the car off of the tarmac onto the lawn, and they hadn't mowed the grass at the church that week. The heat from the engine caught the church on fire, caught the grass on fire. So when she came in the back door expecting to hear the wedding march, what she heard instead was somebody yelled, "Fire!" And she saw the groomsmen going out the back door with fire extinguishers. Great way to start a marriage, wouldn't you say? Don't you wish that they came up with an emotional fire extinguisher? You could get yourself one of those during the wedding ceremony and you guys could carry it with you. And then whenever your partner would get upset or overwrought, you could just douse them. And they'd be able to say, "Thanks, I needed that." Wouldn't it be great just anytime they're out of... How many could use an emotional fire extinguisher? Well, perhaps better than that, the Word of God has given us some preventative medicine. Do this and you'll become your partner's emotional stabilizer. You learn how to talk them away from the edge. You earn the right to speak calm into their chaos. Your partner never gets out of sorts, I'm sure, but this might be a good word for somebody else. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Father, help us today. We'd like the word to sink in deep, and break up some hard places that we have. Lord, I was thinking this morning, it's not going to be long till we're on the other side. And I wonder how we're going to give an account for our marriages, how we treated our spouse. What excuses will we have? Will our eyes be wide open and we'll say, "Oh man, I was the block. I was the one that held it up." May that not be true, God. May your word sink deep and dissolve all those hardnesses in us. And if we've done wrong in the past, may we be corrected. And may the final years of our marriages be the greatest years of our marriages. Well, thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. We began this series last Sunday, and if you weren't here for that message, I'd encourage you to go online and listen to it. It'll help you to fill out the message of where we are today. And as I said last week, my approach to these paragraphs isn't to separate husbands and wives. It says wives this and husbands that, and that's a valid approach to the text, but I've morphed them together. I found that what Paul says to the wives is applicable to husbands and vice versa. If you're a spouse, this is all good advice for you to take to heart and allow the Lord to work into your spirit. There are things any person ought to consider when agreeing to marry another person. The terms we looked at last week were submissive. We're to be mutually submissive to one another. Keep an eye on each other. Purity and reverence. There ought to be a holiness about your relationship. Don't just be nice to everybody else. Don't just put on a show of godliness to people in church, but be godly at home. Gentle and quiet spirit. The Bible says that's of great worth in God's sight, to have a gentle and a quiet spirit as you live with one another. Adjusting ourselves, our gifts and personality to accommodate our partner is huge. We should not seek to dominate, but to cooperate. We're in this together. Now, verse 7 adds another key term to our union: considerate. Be considerate as you live with your wife, as you live with your spouse. Now, that's just so simple. Why in the world would you have to write that down, right? Wouldn't it be common sense to be considerate of whoever you're with, and especially the people that you live with? But there is this human thing in us Sometimes the last person that we're considerate of are the people that are in our own house. We think about ourselves first, and we do not consider who they are, what they're going through, where they've been, and all these things. Now, as I said, it's obviously the text is aiming at husbands, but I think you'd agree that wives ought to also be considerate when they're living with their husbands. You've noticed some differences between women and men, right? You've seen some differences. They use different products on their bodies. At least they used to. I've seen guys are starting to use eyeshadow. we won't go into that. They tend to prefer diverse decorating styles. He would decorate with bows and arrows. She with bows and lace. And what's important to one may not be important to the other. In fact, they might consider absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe you like that. I don't understand what there is about it. Go ahead and explain it to me. And sometimes it's absolutely inexplicable. What one is proud of may be disgusting to the other. I was with my grandson Parker not too long ago, and I let out quite a belch. And he looked at me with such admiration. And he tried himself to match Grandpa's. And I said, "It's okay, son. Wait till you're older." And then when Kayla had her boys down the last time, the youngest one, Cooper, he's just so cute. He brought over a fake cup of tea for me to drink. And so I drank it, and then I let out a belch after I drank the fake tea. I'm real good at this. And he was just so pleased. He pretended to take a drink, and he was trying to let out a belch too. Kayla told me that now every time he takes a drink, he tries so hard to belch that she's afraid he's going to throw up. So neither my wife nor my daughter were pleased with my behavior with the grandson. But my grandson there's something male about a good belch. You know, you have owned your territory, and you've claimed your home. And wives just don't seem to appreciate that aspect and a few other things that men might do as well. But and we got to be considerate. I know I need to be more considerate. Make sure the women aren't around when I'm with my boys. But be more considerate of the people that we live with. And when we're choosing a response to what we have just seen or experienced, we go into the closet of our mind and we're looking for our response. And a lot of times, the first available response is not a real good one. We may not understand, we may not go along, we might be outraged at, and so we're going to grab something to beat this with. This is wrong, we're going to correct it, and maybe your first response isn't considerate. So what's the person going through? Take a moment. While you're in that closet, maybe put the first response back and find something a little more appropriate. For example, she got a perm, and now she wants a hug. And you look and you think, and your first response when you go into your closet is, "I've seen roadkill with better hair than that. And they smell better too." So you might want to put that one back in the closet and not express that one. Look for something a little bit more considerate, maybe more appropriate, something that will help you to live longer too. Something like, "Wow, I thought you were beautiful before, but now I'm speechless." Creative, eh? Well, and consider a man. Now, this took a long time for me. I couldn't think of any inconsiderate things that men do. But I came up with this. His team lost in the playoffs, and he's looking rather depressed. The first thing, ladies, that might come to mind would be, really? Really? You weren't that upset when I went into the hospital for 3 days. Get a life. It's a game. Ladies, it's salt in the wound, salt in the wound. Look for something more creative, more understanding. We were robbed, those jerky officials. See, now you're learning. Oh, yeah, they lost. I'm sorry. And treat them with respect. Respect comes so natural when we're dating. You remember thinking those thoughts? I didn't know that such a perfect person existed on all the planet. How wonderful. How exquisite. Intelligent, caring, all those adjectives. You just can't wait to marry this person, to put your brand on them, to claim them as your own. But after you've lived with them a while, respect might be just a little bit harder to come by. I can't believe she'd cry over that. She can't believe he could smell like that and think it's fine. Disrespect devalues your partner in your own eyes and heart. Be careful when they start to slip in your emotions and keep lifting them back up and putting them back up on that pedestal that you had them on. Disrespect devalues your partner in your own eyes and heart. Make sure you keep loving them. Make sure you keep respecting them. Once again, you need to go into the closet of your brain and choose your response. Not so much the words that you speak, but the emotions that you have when you're around them. Are you annoyed when you're around them? You have to go get yourself a different emotion. You got to take that to God and say, God, this isn't right. When I start getting irritated, I start getting anxious, I start getting this, I start getting that whenever I'm around. That's terrible. That's worse than saying something, and that will come to bad things. But, you know, if the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and I'm not talking excited, you know, whenever you're, that's not good. You got to go get that exchanged. You have to respect. You've got to come to a new place. And God will help you with that. Take it to the Lord. This is not right. Yeah, we might go, they're not right. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're doing the other thing. As we talked last week, you can't change your partner. But you can change your response to your partner. And God will help you to see things in a different light and from a different perspective. So my immediate choice of emotion might be to be repulsed and to be angry. I choose to override that with respect. If I find it necessary to say anything at all, I will say it respectfully. I can say this for myself. The longer I'm married, the older I get, the better I am at keeping my mouth shut. I still violate that from time to time and realize why I keep working on that. But it's better to say nothing than to say the wrong thing. It's better to keep your mouth shut than to let the wrong emotion escape. Wait a few months. You might make your partner angry for a little while because you're not saying anything. But it's better, you know, it's like they say, when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you need to do is stop digging. Just stay quiet a while and wait for the right. I don't understand emotions. First of all, I'm a man, so I'm disabled when it comes to emotions. But I have marveled at how they can just swing so quickly. You can go from angry to loving and vice versa just so quickly. So if you just wait a few moments, a better emotion will come by. You know, talk yourself down from the ladder, from away from the ledge. Give yourself a moment just to calm down. To regroup, allow the Lord to bring something fresh into your heart or into your mind. Catch this. When you're married, it's not good to allow yourself to think, feel, or say whatever you want. That's true, whether you're single too, this is good advice, but particularly in marriage. It's not good to allow yourself to think, feel, or say whatever you want. We think that's freedom. Well, that may be that's a freedom that leads to bad things. You need discipline. You need self-discipline. You need godly discipline. And to take some time, to take a few moments, to rethink your emotions and move forward in good ones rather than destructive ones. Be considerate and respectful. That takes training and self-discipline. When you get it wrong, don't defend yourself. Just say, I'm sorry. Yeah, Barb and I have had some of the best laughs by, you just don't defend yourself. You just, yeah, I blew it. I'm sorry. Oh, what a dope I am, you know. And then you can laugh and, oh, yeah, I do the same thing. Don't worry about it. But when you try to defend that old nature, there's really no excuse for it. You don't have to think and feel like your mate does, but you do need to respect the fact that they do. And when you really get good at it, eventually you will begin to respect the things they respect. You will begin to understand the way that they think. It'll take a long time. It'll take a lot of experience. But respect the fact that they are who they are. They feel the way they feel. Your brain will have been reprogrammed after you've lived with them long enough so that your first response is no longer a bad one. You're no longer doing those things that are hurtful to one another. You found a different pattern. You found a different way to communicate and to respond. That may make you look like a wimp to your old best friends, but it'll say to your spouse, I care more about you than I do everybody else. And when you do that, when you communicate that, you've struck marriage gold. When your partner knows you care about them and not what anybody else thinks. Guys, you've probably all been there when your brothers are razzing you because they took a look in your bedroom and they see all the pink frilly stuff all over the place and it smells all lavenderish and so on and so forth, but that's okay. As long as you and your partner are together. Then the final phrase that really catches my attention in this section is heirs with you. Treat them with respect as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Treat them with respect as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. But let me throw in just a word of this, as the weaker partner. I always marveled at that when I read that in Scripture because I know a lot of marriages, and probably every marriage. Well, it has to be every marriage, where the wife has strengths that the husband does not have. There are many areas where the husband takes the lead, but there's also areas where the wife takes the lead. In your particular family, your wife may be a lot better at keeping the checkbook than you are. So that's the way it is for us. My handwriting is not the best. And often when I'm writing out a check, my wife will even say, let me write that out for you. Okay. She got beautiful handwriting, and she's very good at all that stuff. She handles the checkbook, and I'm glad for that. She pays all the bills. She writes out all those things. That's one of her strengths. And she has a number of other strengths, too. Sometimes I just step back and say, hey, you know, not this isn't my thing. So as the weaker partner, remember what we're talking about, what applies to the husband also applies to the wife. I think that the husband ought to treat the wife as if she's the weaker partner. She needs my help. I'm here to protect her. I'm here to help her. I think the wife, and you already do this, so I'm preaching to the choir. You ought to treat your husband as the weaker partner. The poor guy, man, I don't know what he'd do without me. He would have no idea where his shoes are. He could never find his keys. You know, he's helpless in the kitchen. You could go down through his whole. Treat your partner, and not in the sense of, boy, well, how dumb they are, that poor thing, that poor thing, they really need me. And we do. We need each other. Treat each other as the weaker partner. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Gentlemen, you married one of God's daughters. Ladies, you married one of his sons. That makes God your father-in-law. And you're going to give an answer someday for how you treated his child. God will hold you accountable for the words you use, the actions you take, the love or lack thereof you gave. Don't cheat on your mate. God is watching. Imagine your father-in-law watching how you behave with other women or ladies with other men. God is watching. Don't allow bitterness or anger or disrespect to grow in your heart toward them. If you find yourself being short or sharp with them, you need to get that corrected. And as I mentioned a moment ago, God is the best counselor that you'll ever find. You take that to the Lord and you lay it out before him and say, God, you gave me this spouse. This is a gift from you. I'm not feeling it in my heart. I need an adjustment in my spirit. We need to treat our spouse better than we treat strangers. I hate when I become impatient with my wife. This probably doesn't happen to any other men in the building, but I now have car books. Not books about cars, but books I keep in my cars for whenever I'm waiting for my wife. I don't go to the car until she says she's ready to go. But now when I get there, I have a book to read until she gets there. You know, women have this thing that they do. They're all ready to go. Oh, they forgot to vacuum the floor. Oh, they needed to defrost the freezer. Oh, they noticed, you know, that this needs put away, and oh, they wanted to water the lawn too, and then they're, you know, on their way to the car. And I found out in all this stuff, you know, when I'm sitting in the car and I'm just, they have no respect for me at all. Said they were ready. They know that a person could die in a hot car on a summer day like that. They're trying to kill me. That's what she's trying to do. And, you know, you get all worked up. And so they finally get in the car. You're taking them out on a date to a nice restaurant. It's going to be a beautiful evening, but you've got a tood now. It's you, your wife, and your tood. And what's wrong here? Nothing. You get to the restaurant, and then there's a line now. If you'd have gotten in the car when you said you were ready, we would have been ready. We'd be in that booth right now. Oh, look, I'd be eating that steak right now. My stomach is all... What's wrong here? Oh, nothing. You know? I find that ruins the whole evening. Who wants to be miserable? Apparently, we all do. Because we work on it all the time. We allow all these thoughts. So I learned. Get a book. She's taking her time. I'm reading. This is a good book. You know, she shows up, oh, you're here already? Okay, here we go. You have to wait in line a little bit, okay. Meet some people. You know, learn to adjust to the thing. Don't allow your emotions to drive you. Drive your emotions and steer them toward love and understanding and adjustment. After a while, you learn. You adjust, you grow. And it goes a whole lot better. God's daughter is worth the wait. When you were dating, you'd have waited all day. I drove from Missouri to Pittsburgh. They gave us 2 days off for Thanksgiving. I drove from Missouri to just to surprise her to take her out on a date. And I'm trying to think, would I do that now? I believe I could honestly say I would take a bullet for that woman. She's precious. And we need to recultivate. We need to recalculate. And if we find that the years have not been kind to our emotions toward the one we love, we need to have it retooled. We need to take it into the shop for a tune-up. And say, oh God, I'm not the person I pledged to be at the altar, but I want to be. I want to be. There will be critical times in your life. You'll need your mate to show up for you. You'll be in the hospital, or you'll be disabled for a while. You might be unemployed or having a difficulty. And they will champion a cause for you like you didn't think they were capable of doing. And in those moments when they show up for you during that difficult time of life, you'll realize what a prize you had all along. And you'll be ashamed of yourself. Boy, I used to complain about this, and I used to rag on them about that. And especially if God calls them home before he calls you, you will spend a considerable amount of time kicking yourself. If only they were here. What I wouldn't give for one more night, for one more evening, one more sunset shared together. Don't wait for a tragedy to open your eyes. God did not make any worthless people. Every one of them has their issues they need to work on. I get that. Every one of us needs some discipline, needs some help with a closet in our brain. But we're not worthless. We're not useless. Be considerate of their shortcomings, respect them, and recognize they're a fellow pilgrim on this journey from earth to glory. Help them get there safe. We talk a lot in church about witnessing to other people. And that's important. We want to have a good effect on our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends. But the one person you want to help get to glory is your spouse. Make sure they get there. Love them good. Love them true. Love them special. Love them like God loves them. Would you stand with me this morning?